Makeup Podcast with Rex and Lav. And folks, if you have been tuned in to Golf Today all week long on Golf Channel, I don't know why or how you wouldn't have been. You have noticed that Rex and I have been in Stamford, Connecticut all week co-hosting the show. It's been a lot of fun. We have another edition on Wednesday, a jam-packed one, I must say, because we're previewing Genesis Scottish Open. You got the ISCO Championship. You have the U.S. Adaptive Open. You have the Evian Championship, the LPGA's fourth major of the year. It's been a lot of fun over these past couple of days. Rex, what's been your biggest takeaway from doing the show and all the content that we've been putting out over the past couple of days?
I didn't want to give you more work because you're going to have to put this in post-production, but it was the picture that we ran from you when you were the what player of the year when you were in high school?
Messenger player of the year, circa fall 2004, spring 2005. It's gone viral. People are really enjoying it.
Yes, no, and it was, I think it's just the picture, the look on your face, how smug you are. It actually fits you perfectly. I believe it was our colleague Eamon Lynch who complimented that, yes, he's looked that way his entire life.
Pouty swear word is the way I wasn't that Eamon Lynch described that one. I will put it up here if you're watching along on YouTube throughout the course of the show. Rex, let's start with the Genesis Scottish Open. This is one of the strongest events, strongest fields that we've seen. Co-sanctioned event, PGA Tour, DP World Tour. So that means you have Rory, you have Scotty, you also have John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. What do you think is the larger significance of having almost all of the best players in the world under one roof competing on a golf course like this at the Renaissance Club a week ahead of the Open Championship?
This is the goal, right? This is what Brian Rolapp wants. This is what we're trying to get to in 2028 and beyond. But he wants it every single week. There is a bit of a twist when it comes to this event because it's a split event. You have half the players coming from the DP World Tour, half the players coming from the PGA Tour, and it makes for great television. It makes for a great event because I think you get the diversity of both tours. And we've seen it over the years where it does identify the best players. I would argue that last year, Chris Goddard winning was a harbinger of what we could come to expect. We saw it again last week. He is a star player now. It's not a star in the making. It's not an emerging star. He is a star now. Rory McIlroy has won here. Xander Schauffele has won here. But you also get sort of these great storylines. I remember last year, it was Marco Pinge who finished second. And it was a great story to be on the ground reporting that because we don't know a lot about these European players until they land on the PGA Tour. So you get this glimpse into sort of the future of the PGA Tour because those top 10 players move over the next year and they have tour cards. You also get the top players together. And now you add the element that you have the LIV players in the mix. This is what the fans want. They've spoken and the PGA Tour has delivered, or at least the DP World Tour has delivered. So it's one of those really unique places on the tour schedule where organically the tour, DP World Tour, they've created something really special.
Yeah, and we've had some great finishes over the past couple of years. Chris Goddard staring down Roy McIlroy head-to-head a week before Roy McIlroy is going to be returning to his hometown major at Portrush. It was a great scene. He had Bobby Mack a couple of years before that. We had Roy McIlroy authoring, I would argue, one of the top five shots of his career back in 2023 on the 72nd hole, drilling what I believe was a two-iron and making birdie, one of just three birdies in the final round on the closing hole on what was a brutally difficult day for scoring. We've also had sort of the crowning and, as you mentioned, sort of a harbinger or a foreshadowing of success. Aaron Rye, former winner of this golf tournament as well back in 2020 and now a major champion. It is going to be interesting, Rex, and Rory McIlroy talked about this as well. What's going to happen in terms of the championship series? Because, yes, this is the model for what Brian Rolapp is looking at. They've even talked about in the fall they want to sort of add more international events potentially for those championship season players, because once the season ends, the tour championship, sort of a free-for-all. You can do whatever you want. You can take 4 months off. You can go play internationally. You can go chase appearance money elsewhere. And so, yes, the Scottish Open is sort of the model. You have a great sponsor. You have a golf course that the players have really grown to like. You have a great time in the schedule. This feels like a natural fit, doesn't it, for the Dunhill, the Spanish Open, the Irish Open, the Australian Open is going to be elevated in stature over the next couple of years with the partnership with the PGA Tour as well. This really does feel like the model, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a slippery slope here. And we have talked a little bit about this. We've talked around this a little bit because the fact of the matter is we can all agree this is a special event. They've created something really cool between the two tours, a links course. You and I call this the best fortnight in golf leading into the Open Championship. I think everything about it is really unique and really special. But there could be, and I think this would be a great example, where it's addition by subtraction or the other way around, subtraction by addition. And I mean that we've had the conversation about going to 2028. Would this be one of those chosen 22 to 24 events that would be a tier one event? Or would it be something else? Would it move to the fall? And I think that would take away from the event. I think the idea that it leads into the Open Championship makes it unique. I just mentioned the fact that it's a split field. Half comes from DP World Tour, half comes from the PGA Tour. It makes it unique and special. I keep using that word. If it became one of the chosen few, I don't see how you could have it that way. And if it's left out of that top 22, you wonder who's actually going to play it. I mean, the plan now is for tier one players not to be able to go down and play those quote unquote challenge tour series events. And then, or it could move to the fall, like you just talked about, and create this kind of cool series. I like the idea of the National Open somehow become something in the fall that attracts the top players, just not internationally, but the Americans as well, who have a tendency to want to stay on their couch, understandably so, but they don't like to travel in the fall. So I think this one is we're going to have to watch carefully. Canadian Open, I would put in the exact same category because it's really unique in golf. And I know what Brian Rolapp is trying to build is bigger than one or two events, but I would hate to see them take away from something that's so special and so unique in the professional game.
I mean, it's the perfect spot on the schedule, getting these players acclimated to the time changes and links golf and just sort of getting that experience heading in to what now is the year's final major. Roy McIlroy made the point on Wednesday, the Canadian Open can be in the exact same category, a National Open. You want to elevate those tournaments. You want to boost the stature of those tournaments. You want to have the best players and the best fields possible for those tournaments that do have historical significance. That makes a lot of sense leading into the U.S. Open as well, with sort of the spot on the schedule over the past couple of years. It is going to be interesting to watch because right now it is a split field between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. That is something to monitor moving forward. One thing we did want to mention, though, Rex, you mentioned Terrell Hatton, John Rahm among the LIV players. I believe it's seven players who are in the field this week at Renaissance Club. And I think it's sort of, we're long past time where, you know, is what's going to happen at the Scottish Open a referendum on LIV? We're so far removed from that point. However, there is at least a little bit of an awkward scenario that exists this week, where if a LIV player wins, technically he's winning a PGA Tour event. But the PGA Tour has already come out and said those players would be ineligible to take up membership on the PGA Tour because they're playing on the rival circuit on LIV. I don't love the scenario that the winner on Sunday could have this sort of scenario overshadowing what would be a pretty significant achievement, beating this field on this golf course at this time of year heading into the year's final major.
But I think there's some precedent there. Before I get to that, and this has bugged me all week long, and it always bugs me during this week. I love the week. I love the fortnight. We talk about it all the time, but you just did it, and I cringed a little bit. I know people at home probably hate the way we say Renaissance Club. That's the way they want us to say it. I know there is an Americanized version of just Renaissance Club, and that's what you, I think
Renaissance
you and I,
Club.
Renaissance Club. Bulldog, that's for you. That's the way we were doing this. But that's the way they wanted to do it. We were lucky enough to play it a few years ago, and they were very particular about the way they wanted to play us. I know a lot of people probably roll your eyes when we pronounce it that way, but that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced. I'm sorry.
Thank you for pointing that out for our audience.
Well, it bugs me, so I'm sure it bugs a couple of people. I will say that the precedent is already set. You're right. It would be awkward if John Rahm is holding a trophy and we're not having the conversation about, is he coming back to the PGA Tour? Patrick Reed is already living this reality. And what would happen in that scenario is John Rahm, as a DP World Tour member in good standing, would clearly finish inside the top 10 at the end of this season. And in theory, could use that top 10 to take up tour membership next year after he would serve what would roughly be a one-year suspension from his last LIV Golf event. That's the precedent. That's what Patrick Reed is living through right now. We know Patrick Reed got off to a great start to this year after he left at LIV Golf. He pretty much is a lock to finish inside that top 10, and he essentially has to serve a one-year suspension on the European circuit, and he can come back to the PGA Tour this fall. We're going to be having this conversation. So I know it's awkward, but we're already there. We're already in this reality, and I think the PGA Tour has at least set a standard. It may not be a fair standard in John Rahm or another LIV player's mind, but at least there is some sort of pathway that's clear.
Speaking of Patrick Reed, he mentioned earlier this week that he has already received several invitations to playing fall tournaments on the PGA Tour schedule. Again, as you pointed out, his suspension with the PGA Tour ends at the end of August, following the conclusion of the FedEx Cup season. The idea of Patrick Reed, who is still a world-class player, beating the brakes off some of these players during the fall tournaments who are trying desperately to earn FedEx Cup points and move up inside the top 100 and secure their playing privileges for the 2027 PGA Tour season is nothing if not hilarious, and could lead to some pretty fun competitive friction moving on in the fall. What else, Rex, stands out to you this week about the Scottish Open field? Obviously, almost everyone is there. I'm thinking about Jordan Spieth not in the field a week ahead of his return to Birkdale in the site of his third and his final major championship. It's pretty stacked field, but I think with some of the marquee contenders for the year's final major as well.
And Rory has played here, and I kind of want to see how he performs. I mean, just from a competitive standpoint.
It's been quiet.
He's been very quiet, really, since the Masters, I would argue. However, he's coming to a golf course, Renaissance Club. Drink up if you're sitting at home watching this right now. And he's won here before. It's a golf course where he's had success, and he's always going to be looking ahead. This is all about making sure you're comfortable hitting off the turf. It's completely different. It's hard to explain. I love it when we get players to come on to talk about how it is different. The ball comes off the turf differently. It flies through the air differently. You have to think differently. That's why we love this time of year so much. Scottie Scheffler is also kind of interesting to me, because I think next week, we would probably both agree, he is going to be the favorite going into that event. But we had extended conversations this week where, if you broke it down and you tried to vote for player of the year right now, would you vote for Scottie Scheffler, or would you lean towards someone else, like Chris Kutterup, a Wyndham Clark, a Matt Fitzpatrick? I think it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks starting right now, because I was trying to write a bad opening for this morning's golf today. I was thinking to myself, I think this is just the fifth regular season PGA Tour event that you've had both Rory McIlroy and Scotty in the field. I think you've done that research, which is pretty amazing that we're this deep in the season. Now, obviously, there was some timing issues between the Truist and Hilton Head, some places that they just didn't want to play. Like, these two players have decided that they're going to play the schedule they want to play. We just don't get this very often. And then you sprinkle the pixie dust that is the LIV players, and it's such a compelling event.
We tried to do a mailbag, Rex, during golf today, and we did not get very many submissions. Not sure, but what that says about our golf.
I'll say that has one million. I would say our fans are awesome.
Yes,
like when we ask for voices in the crowd, our fans are awesome.
No shortage.
Golf today fans, it didn't deliver.
Yeah, it really didn't. That's very surprising. But one of the responses was that they thought that this season on the PGA Tour has been boring, that there really hasn't had much happen. And I'm thinking, like, well, I don't think that's necessarily true whatsoever. In fact, this PGA Tour season feels, because it has been, more wide open than basically since 2022, when Scottie Scheffler really burst on the scene, winning four times, including a major championship. We've had the breakthrough from Matt Fitzpatrick, who's really elevated to a new level. I know he won a U.S. Open back in 2022, but this is a player who has now won three times in the PGA Tour. He comes in with a lot of confidence, looking at least ahead to next week. No Englishman has won an Open since 1992. Between he, his brother Alex, who's really been one of the storylines of 2026 as well, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, if not now, when for the
Aaron
Englishman.
Rye?
Aaron Rye as well. Perfect. Did not mean to omit him as well. So, really stacked contingent of English players. Wyndham Clark has been one of the storylines of the summer. I'm not sure necessarily it's been a redemptive arc, but certainly his game has leveled up to what we saw back in 2023. Chris Goddard, winner last week, the John Deere Classic, defending champion this week at Renaissance Club. And so I think it's been a great year outside of just Rory and Scotty, and whether it's been a disappointing year for Scotty, whether it's been a quiet year for Rory outside of what happened at Augusta National. So I disagree with the premise. Maybe there hasn't been as much competitive drama. Cam Young, don't mean to have an oversight for him as well, the Players' Champion, as well as a signature winner on the PGA Tour. And so I think there's been more parity on the PGA Tour, and that's overall been a good thing, I think.
And this dovetails with the conversation we are having this week with the Evian Championship going on the LPGA Tour and what Nelly Korda has done this season. She's trying to win her third major championship. She is in full Nelly Korda mode. And I think you and I both have asked the same question to a couple of different guests over the course of the week. Are we to that silly point on the LPGA Tour where you start talking about Nelly Korda versus the field? And I don't think we're there yet. I think the KPMG just a few weeks ago proved that they still have some sort of parity, but you're seeing a very dominant player on that side. Well, you're not seeing that on the men's side. Well, we can have a legitimate conversation about player of the year. Maybe
this year we're not.
Exactly. I mean, this. Yeah. I think that's the difference. And I guess it's just what flavor of ice cream do you want? There's a reason why Baskin and Robbins has 31 flavors. It's some people like to see dominant performances. They sort of harken back to what Tiger Woods did for a decade plus on the PGA Tour. I personally like to see parity because there's so many open-ended questions going into an event like this. Yes, it would be easy to lean into a Rory or a Scotty this week, but the fact of the matter is we probably can go through 50 players in that field and make pretty legitimate arguments that, yeah, if they do X, Y, Z well this week, you can absolutely see them winning. I like that. You and I are kind of golf nerds. We were also asked in that mailbag why anyone would listen to two journalists, so I'm on that front too. I certainly understand where that came from.
Yep, I certainly understand that the distrust of journalists seem to be at an all-time high. We don't have enough time in the podcast to go over that.
We tried, Harris. We tried.
And why we disagree with that assessment. Rex, I know you're about to set sail. What do you have planned as we begin to embark on what I believe, quite strongly, in fact, and I disagree wholeheartedly with anyone who thinks otherwise, that this is the best fortnight in golf? I know people like Pebble Riv, doubleheader, that's spectacular as well. But I don't think it gets any better than this two-week stretch in golf throughout the course of the year.
And Augusta Hilton Head. I always sort of throw that one in when we have this conversation, just because there's all the hype, there's all the excitement, there's all the anticipation going into the Masters. But you and I both know by the time you get to Sunday, there is a need to exhale, and there's no better exhale than Hilton Head. So I can see where that's coming from. Those with a West Coast bias, they're going to point to Pebble and Riv. It's certainly a special time of year, but I just think this week, and we had this conversation, and I don't want to revisit it. This is not the Lynx course for the Scottish Open, where I'd like to see the Scottish Open being played. It wasn't that long ago when Ricky Fowler won at Gullen, which is just down the street from the club where they're playing it this week. See how I'm avoiding saying it? Because I know it aggravates people so much. I'm just going to refer to, you know, where they're playing. You know that club and what they're talking about.
Club.
There it is. Drink up. I would love to see it at more of a traditional type Lynx golf course, and to be fair to the Renaissance Club, it's in a really, really good neighborhood, so it's going to suffer by comparison. You're right next to your door to Muirfield. You have Gullen that has not one, not two, but three world-class golf courses there. And then, North Berwick is just down the road. That's probably a lot of
our favorite golf course in the world, yes.
Favorite Lynx course. All that being said, I'm with you. I don't even see how the argument can come up. I think going over, having these 2 weeks in the UK, playing Lynx golf, exposing golf fans to this different type of golf that we get week in and week out, the elements, everything that goes into it, I love this time of year.
The style of golf is just so much different, how it's predicated on the wind and the conditions, judging the firmness of the bounce, the slowness on the greens, that sort of disparity as well. I just like variety. And I think overall, the PGA Tour week to week does a pretty good job of having a different variety of golf courses, where you have the sort of the brutality of Shinnecock, but the next week it's a birdie fest at TPC River Highlands. You have a different sort of shot making golf course at TPC Deer Run last week for the John Deere Classic, which Chris Goddard actually said at the beginning of the year was one of his favorite golf courses on the entire PGA Tour schedule, just because of how much it is sort of a shot making golf course. So I think overall, by and large, maybe 90% of the PGA Tour schedule does a good job of having that sort of variety. But this is a whole different category in Lynx golf and the style of play, and really factoring in shot shape and trajectory and spin control. It's just a lot of fun to watch. If you've never experienced it, it's a lot of fun to play. I think it pales in comparison to sort of the aerial and target shooting that you do typically for these American style courses, where everything is sort of pitched up and you have to fly the ball in the air. It's just so much fun to play. So much fun to watch. If you're looking at conditions, it's been a little bit misty, a little bit rainy, a little bit windy so far this week at the Genesis Scottish Open. But Rex, you and I have both received email alerts from the travel company cautioning visitors to the UK to minimize, not with a Z, with an S, minimize your exposure outside. I went and looked. I'm like, oh my God, what's it going to, 90 degrees? What's happening here? Nope. It's going to be a high of 78 to 81 next week in Southport, England for the Open Championship. But yes, it's pretty warm. There's not a lot of air conditioning going around. It could be a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm hoping next week for the Open at Birkdale, you could have potentially a baked out, bouncy, really wispy Lynx golf course. Would be a lot of fun to watch because we haven't typically seen that over the past couple of years.
And I would argue, I love playing Lynx golf when it's like this, when it is brown and bouncy. I'll go back to Royal Liverpool when Tiger Woods won there. I think one journalist that I worked with referred to it as Royal Yellow Brick Road because that's what it looked like. It was so much fun to watch these players, watch Tiger Woods take a 3-iron around that place and just do magical things. It's also a little bit easier to play, in my opinion, because the rough is a little bit wispy. I just think this is the way it should be played. And it's always funny. I remember getting a text message from my mother-in-law a few years ago when she was watching one of these Opens being played on one of these brown baked out golf courses. And it was, what's wrong with Royal Liverpool? And I'm like, nothing. It's absolutely perfect.
It's glorious. That's what you want.
And as much as I loved, and Portrush is probably a good example last year, that was really green, that was really lush. It had been a really wet summer, and that's what you end up with. And that's sort of the beauty of coming over and playing Lynx golf. It's not tricked up. There's nothing about it that they're trying to manufacture. You're going to get what Mother Nature has given that area. And this year, it's been really dry and it's been really hot. I'm looking forward to it. I rolled my eyes a little bit. And I did that this week when we came up to Connecticut to work the shows. When I got off the plane, I was bracing. There was the heat dome. I'm like, I don't know how hot it's going to be. It's like in the mid-80s. I don't understand this. It's absolutely beautiful. But it feels like fall. We live in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, we live in Florida. It's been brutally hot. I was in Georgia for the July 4th holiday. That's about as much as I've ever sweated through a 4-day period. So yes, a 78 to 81 degree heat wave where I'm minimizing my exposure outdoors is actually going to feel quite nice. I feel like a little bit of a reprieve.
I need you to go to your email, and I just sent you something. I'll gas bag here for a second while you pull it up. There it is. So I used this on the show yesterday, and you were flummoxed by this. That might be another word that you don't particularly like to use. It's clearly a word. Slack-jawed is the way you sort of react to something when you're surprised. You see the definition there on the screen. But I used it on live TV, and you really had a hard time wrapping your mind around it. And I guess I get it. So my question to everyone out there, and you guys are always great giving us your comments, it clearly is a word, but is it a word from 1920? Am I aging myself by using this word?
I think I was left slack-jawed because you pulled it out of thin air. We were watching highlights from the U.S. Adaptive Open, and if you have not seen the highlights so far, we're going to have live coverage coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Golf Channel. It is incredible, the stories, the quality of golf between these players who are the best in the world, who have some limitations. It's just incredible to watch. And so, yes, I was left slack-jawed. But Rex, that wasn't even sort of the biggest moment over the past couple of days on Golf Today. It was this. Yes, this is me.
Oh, there it is.
This is the picture that we were referring to, the player of the year. I do want to make a couple of mentions here. And yes, you can look at the outfit. You can look at the hair that I clearly do not have any longer. I did have earrings in both ears. I love the Tiger Mach-T, which is very trendy in the early 2000s because of his run of dominance. I'd love to give a shout out, though, to the Daily Messenger newspaper, which gave me my start in the industry. I was just a high school freshman. I knew I wanted to get into sports writing. I knew I wanted to get into sports journalism. For them to take a flyer on a 14, 15-year-old at the time, covering sports for free, getting some bylines, getting some clips, getting some experience, just understanding how the business works. It really helped fuel my love and passion for what I've ended up making a career for. So yes, I'd love to give a shout out to the Daily Messenger in my hometown of Canandaigua, New York.
And now that I get a good look at it, I think Eamon is right. Pouty little. So I think Eamon nailed it. Nothing else needs to be said.
Moody, 17 and 18-year-old. I certainly am not the first and certainly will not be the last. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. We have to go prepare for our show, which begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, co-hosting Golf Today. If you've not missed it, please do enjoy it this week. Rex and I are going to be back on Sunday evening. Both he and I will be in our apartment flat in Southport, England, getting ready for the Open Championship. He flies, I believe, tomorrow. I fly Saturday night arriving on Sunday morning. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to bring you guys all of our coverage from the year's final major. So we'll do the show on YouTube on Sunday night. Make sure you get your questions in if you want those answered during that show. Then typical schedule for a major championship where we're going to be having a preview podcast on Wednesday, and then mini pods each and every day during the tournament prior to Sunday in the final round. Then we do the 52-minute made for TV edition. We'll also have the final edition, Rex, of the Live From with Rex and Lav newsletter, which will be going up 3 times. If you have not already signed up, please do so. golfchannel.com/Rex and Lav. We'll have 3 editions coming your way during the Open. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Enjoy what is a busy week with the Genesis, the Evian, the ISCO, the U.S. Adaptive Open. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
I can't wait to get my schedule for next week.